Welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're talking about Wicked.
Wow. You went so high that it cut out.
I'm sure it did. So that's good. I'm also really close to my microphone, I'm just realizing. So we'll move that away from my face real quick. So we're going to dive into Sarah's deep-seated past of her love for musical theater and talk about the movie Wicked that recently was released for sale on Amazon. So she watched my Amazon account.
Yep.
But before we do that, I do want to talk about something that I realized on my way to go get my hair cut today. Thank you for saying that my hair looks nice. I appreciate it.
As if I had a moment to say a word edgewise. Anyway,
your name. So I was on my way, or no, I got my hair cut and I was on my way to go get to eat. So whenever I go get my hair cut, there's a Subway right next to it. So I just grab a sandwich and then go to Oakland Beach that's just down the road. Did you go to it with us?
I think so.
It's in Warwick, Rhode Island, which is close to where I live. So I drive and park and eat sitting on a beach. And on my way there, I was like, the woman that was checking me in, so I always check in before I leave. That way, when I get there, there's like a little to no wait, if there is a wait. But when I got there, she was like, did you check in online? And I said, yes. And she goes, okay, what's your name? And she was like, I don't see you. Are you sure you checked in? I was like, yes, I checked in online. She was like, okay, well, what's your phone number? And I told her my phone number. And she was like, okay, can you read it to me again? Was it 985? I was like, no, 585. She goes, oh, okay. Okay, I see you here. It looks like someone just took your name off for some reason. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then on my way, I was like, you know, I do realize when I am trying to vocalize and project my voice, I don't do it very often, especially when I'm talking like to one person. Because when I do it, it seems like to me, it's either very aggressive or it comes across as me being mean, because that's the only option I have. Is my voice is always either quiet when I'm talking to one person one-on-one, or it's really loud and kind of a little forceful and mean. That's just it. That's my realization.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I can kind of see that.
Sarah, like, says, I mean.
No, like, I mean, how it could be taken that way. Like, I know that you're not mean, but I've also known you for over half of my life at this point. So, you know, when you have a 20 plus year friendship like we do, obviously, I'm going to understand the different nuances to the different tones of voice that you use.
Yeah. And if I call you a bitch, there's bitch as in I'm going to cut you. There's bitch as in I have something to tell you. And then there's hey, bitch, which is a very nice, happy greeting.
Yes. Which is one of my favorite greetings, to be honest.
Or hooker or whore. Or slut.
You know. Or whorey whore from Horrington, West Virginia.
Yeah.
That one's my favorite, I think.
Yeah, that one's always been fun.
That one All is right. really fun. Anyway, so yes, this week we're talking about Wicked. And
so I think I talked about it a little bit last week where I said I've watched it twice now. Maybe I didn't. So I've watched it twice and I enjoyed it. However, I do find myself when I watched it the second time, I was like, I don't need to know this. I'm just going to skip through this. I also hate her sister. I don't like her sister at all. I think she's a whiny little brat and she doesn't care for her sister as much as she should. I think we're going to see that in the second part two. Right. But I found myself skipping through things like Fiero's song. I didn't really care for it and I didn't want to have to listen to it the second time I watched it. So I skipped through it. Mm. Also, it's so long.
It is really long. It's really long.
And this is just disclaimer. We don't know. Neither of us have seen it on Broadway or in like the musical form.
Right.
We've just seen the movie.
Sam has.
Sam has, yeah. But Sam's not here.
Sam's not here to talk about it. Actually, Sam's the whole reason I even know anything about Wicked. Because after she saw it, she got the whole... what was it?
Cast recording?
Yeah, the cast recording that they did. So she shared that with me back, way back in the day.
Yeah, I'm also going to be muting because I'm eating.
So, I don't know. I didn't realize it was going to have as many political undertones as it did. Like, I should have realized, like, I should have known, but I guess I just wasn't thinking about that. For the record, The Wizard of Oz was one of the first movies that I recall watching, and I watched it so often that my mother actually had it on a physical record, like the whole movie on a physical record to play while I was going to sleep at night. Or if I woke up in the middle of the night having an asthma attack. Like, that's how invested I am in, like, the whole world of, like, The Wizard of Oz and everything. And, like, the whole point of the original movie was Dorothy realizing that the wizard was just a man. Like, so obviously there's spoilers ahead. So like that part was kind of obvious.
Yeah.
That, you know, she was gonna figure it out. But there's so many like political things tied into that. And I just, with how everything is going in the world right now, it hit a lot harder. So I was very emotional, as you said I would be.
Yeah, it's a good song, and it is pretty emotional. So I want to go, can we go like word for like song for song? We'll skip some of them because there's some that I don't care about. So like the first one, No One Mourns the Wicked, where it like starts off where they're talking about and they're burning the sigil
effigy
of the Wicked Witch. I enjoyed the song. I think like to me, like I understand the undertones of it, but it seems like, I think knowing like what Glinda is going through with her friend now being murdered or killed, I feel like there's like two sides that she's playing. She's like, she is partially like, she just let out a deep breath because now there's not like this presence around her, like good nature or good whatever, her quote unquote image, her good image, because she's no longer like the Wicked Witch is no longer there. However, there's also this, she was her friend and now she's mourning her friend, and you can kind of tell in what the words she's saying, she is sad for her friend now dying. Whether that's actually what happened or not, well, we don't really know.
Right. Because we don't have the rest of it yet.
Yeah. And we haven't seen the actual Broadway show.
Right. I just, yeah.
And then that goes to Dear Old Shiz, which
was the you know, song as they're entering the school.
Oh yeah. And that one, so that's one of them that I feel like could have just been cut out.
Like, I get it. Like, I kind of understand why it's there, but I think I would tend to agree that it didn't need to be as prominent as it was. Like, it could have been a background song, in my opinion. Like, I don't know. That's just how I felt about it, was that it could just be a background song. She didn't need to add her own little flourish at the end, like, you know, all that.
Yeah. And then The Wizard and I, which I enjoyed, and I think, to me, it's one of the favorite songs I have. And I also think it's funny that she has, so it shows her like having visions. And she has, you can tell that her, like, her power is new, and she still doesn't have the right grip on it. Uh-huh. Because the vision that she sees what we saw in No One Mourns the Wicked, where they're having a party for her, but it's because she's dead. Uh-huh. And they're celebrating her death. So they were technically celebrating her, and that's what she probably saw, but they were celebrating her death.
Yeah. Which she doesn't know yet. I liked The Wizard and I quite a bit, actually. Because it definitely gave some of that fondness, that hopefulness back into the character. It was nice to see her frolicking. And he's chewing. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I haven't eaten yet, so I was making food, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it before the 7 o'clock time we're recording.
You could have said, let's do it a little later.
It's fine. So then that takes us to What Is This Feeling, which is, again, I understand it. I just feel like it's so long. The song is so long. It didn't need to be that long.
See, I liked What Is This Feeling, and the reason I liked it is because absolutely it is about lesbian desire.
See, there are undertones of, yeah.
Like, it is more than an undertone. Like, I'm sitting here going, oh.
I think technically it's supposed to be this feeling of hate, and...
It's supposed to be this feeling of hate, but that's not what it actually is. Because hatred doesn't get erased as quickly as it did.
Yeah. Something bad. I don't remember this one.
Something bad?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's the one that Peter Dinklage was singing. The goat.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are saying that they didn't think that this one was necessary.
I think it was necessary.
I do too, because I think it like makes the, like, it makes the point that something's going on, and that, like, maybe
not all is good.
Yeah, maybe not everything is as they're portraying it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think this one is good. In the Broadway show, which is what it's showing me the list, so that's why I was like, I don't remember which one it is. It says it's a minute, just over a minute, just under 2 minutes, basically a minute and 39 seconds.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, to me, I really enjoyed this part of it because it also takes us into. No, this doesn't yet. Yeah, it does. It takes us into her finding out about like the animals and stuff.
Right.
And what's going on with the animals. And I think, like, to me, that was the most touching part of it, because you saw her. Elphaba bonding with someone and actually making a friend.
Right.
And you got to see like how she is being portrayed as wicked, but she's really just standing up for what she thinks is right. And the, like, the underdog, the people that are being marginalized.
Right.
Like, to me, if you read this, like, read what the movie or the musical is about, it's obvious it's going to have political undertones, because it's talking about someone that's being villainized for speaking up against the marginalization of specific groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to me, I think something bad is good. I think it made sense. And then we go into dancing through life, which I understand the reason for it, because it introduces Fiero and it like shows his like fun loving. He wants to like toss up and just have fun attitude. And I'm just like, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it needed to be as long. In the actual musical, it says it's over 7 minutes long.
Dang.
It is the longest song in the entire musical. 7 minutes and 37 seconds.
Damn.
The overture, or No One Mourns the Wicked, at the beginning is 6 minutes and 40 seconds. So it's over, almost an entire minute over.
The
No One Mourns the Wicked. Yeah.
Damn.
So what were your thoughts? I think, to me, I think he is a very dreamy guy. He's very attractive. And he's got good dance moves. But you could have cut his song in half and it would have been fine.
I think I would tend to agree a little bit. But from what I know about Wicked and like what happens in the story, or at least my understanding of what happens in the story, is that Fiero gets turned into the Scarecrow. And so I feel like in that way, the song is meant to relate back to the original Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. So, like, if that's just kind of how I took it, how I felt about it. But yeah.
And I can see that, because I've seen videos like on TikTok and YouTube where they talk about it, and they're like comparing his dance moves to the dance moves of the Scarecrow. Mm-hmm. And like when he's like finding, like getting off the Scarecrow perch thing.
Right.
And like finding his feet. They're the same. They're kind of the same dance moves.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it could have been about, maybe not half as long, but it could have been shorter.
Right. Like, it probably could have been a minute shorter, to be honest. Yeah. To be honest.
And then that takes us to Popular.
So, I enjoyed Popular, particularly because there was more context than I've had received previously.
Yeah.
Because obviously I've never seen the Broadway play. So I had no real context as to like the situation. And so I enjoyed that aspect of it. However, I also feel like that scene took so long.
It was a very long scene.
And at one point it really did feel like it did not need to be that long.
Yeah.
Like I get the whole, it, I understand, but oh my God.
The whole like part where she like Elphaba goes away and she's just dancing in the hallway, that was unnecessary to me.
Right. Same. I was just like,
and she was literally just singing.
But also what?
Yeah, she was literally just dancing around singing la 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 la. It's like, come on, move on. We're done. We get it. The first la la was enough. We can move on to the next song. I do like that it kind of shows the way that the two actors, so Cynthia and Ariana, were able to play off of each other. And some of the things that are in that video or in that song in the movie were like ad-libbed by the two actors.
Mm.
And it shows like how they as a group or as a like a duo worked off of each other. So it was a lot of fun.
Right.
And then that takes us to I'm Not That Girl, which is where Elphaba is talking about how she like she wants to kind of be with him.
Yeah, she's interested in Fiero, but yeah. Fiero's type is clearly not her, as far as she knows.
Yes.
Which, like, I get, but I'm so bored of this two women fighting over the same man, and that's the reason why things are the way that they are, kind of bullshit.
Yeah, one thing that we kind of skipped is the Oz Bowl scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because this comes after the Oz Bowl scene. And I loved the Oz Bowl scene.
Oh, agreed. 110%.
I cried. Yeah.
I cried. Like, I cried.
Them, and I don't know what it is with me recently, but I've been crying a lot more easily for some reason. I don't know.
We're getting sentimental in our old age.
I don't get sentimental, but it was very touching to see like her, the way that she, Elphaba, Cynthia was reacting to people just staring at her, and then she was going to walk away, and Glinda, Ariana didn't let her, and then they started dancing together, and apparently it was unscripted, the wiping away of her tears.
Mm.
That part of it was very like, again, showing the two of them working well together on screen. So that goes, I'm not that girl again. I liked this part of it because it shows like her struggle with understanding, and like her understanding that she's not like she doesn't quite love herself enough to be able to love someone else. Like, that's what I took away from it.
Okay. I can kind of see that.
Yeah. And then that takes us to One Short Day, which is them going to Oz, or the Emerald City.
Yeah, the Emerald City. Which I loved it. I loved that they went and got their nails and hair done at the salon. Yeah. I loved the whole tie-in to The Wizard of Oz. It made me so nostalgic. I loved it. I loved that part, actually, to be honest.
Somebody pointed out that you don't see it very, but you see it very quickly. The
horse
nails.
Of a different
color? No.
Oh.
When they get their nails done. Glinda gets her nails pink, obviously, but she gets a green jewel.
Oh.
To kind of tie in her feelings of friendship with Elphaba. Mm. So there's apparently a little bit of green in her pink now. Oh, that sounded so dirty. Saying that sounded so dirty.
Anyway, moving on. So, so the only thing that I was sad about as far as this scene, which I thought you were going to mention, was the horse of a different color, which you do get to see for an ever so brief a second, the horse of a different color's legs as Fiero's entering the school. But that's it. There was no horse of a different color.
Well, that's not the horse of a different color. Because we see the horse that he rides in on.
Yeah, and it's a different color at the last frame.
No, I mean the black one.
It's blue when he gets off of it.
Oh. Well, I'm talking about when he's in the woods because it talks.
Right. But like, that's what I'm saying though, is that that might be a horse of a different color because it changes color when he gets dropped off.
I didn't notice it changing color. I thought it was black still.
No, it was blue. You see the legs and it's like bright blue.
Yeah. Hmm. But then the song that's next on this list is A Sentimental Man, which is sung by, I didn't realize how long. Oop, I'm getting, hold on. Drink your juice, Shelby. It's time for me to take my drugs. I didn't realize how long it was going to take for us to actually see, what's his face?
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum, yeah. Because he's not in it until, like, the last 20 minutes-ish.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that's the way it was originally, too. It's like, the Wizard of Oz doesn't show up until the end.
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of, and the title of the song even shows that he kind of, he wants something that he doesn't currently have and doesn't want to have. And we think it's talking about wanting to be a father and, like, be a father figure for Elphaba. But what he's actually wanting is her power.
Right.
And, like, that's the only thing he wants from her, and the ability to use her for her power, because right. He doesn't have any.
Exactly.
So he kind of wants something that he doesn't currently have, but it's power, not a child.
Right.
Because technically, spoiler alert, she is his child.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
The very first scene that they talk about is the reason she is green because of the elixir that the wizard gave to her mother while they were having their little romp in the sack.
I didn't realize that was the wizard.
That's the wizard.
Oh. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew that the elixir had been the reason that she was green.
No.
I'd never even thought about who the father was at all.
Yeah, so he is the father. Maury, you are the father.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I thought you knew that. I'm very surprised.
I did not know that.
Like, it was Jeff Goldblum's voice. The guy that at the beginning.
I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh. But anyways, so A Sentimental Man. I mean, and we get the yellow brick road where Elphaba's switching through the colors and...
Glinda.
Why can't I remember Glinda's name? I keep forgetting her name. Glinda tells her to switch back to the yellow brick road. So she technically picked the yellow brick road, which is pretty interesting.
Right. Agreed. I liked that part a lot.
And then that takes us to Defying Gravity.
Yep.
And I think you have seen it now. There's another unscripted thing where she's like, they're in the hot air balloon and they're starting to take off and the guards are trying to keep them. And Glinda is like kicking and one of the guards has her legs and she goes, "Give me my leg." And she's like kicking it. And then she goes, "Give me my leg." And she kicks him off. That was apparently unscripted. And in the shooting of the video, Cynthia looked at the director and she goes, "Who are we focused on then in the video, in that part of it?" And he goes, "Well, we were focusing on you because you're the one that's kind of doing all the work." And she goes, "I think it's funnier to see her battling with this guard." So Cynthia is the one that pointed out that they should be recording the fight between the guard and Ariana Grande.
Oh, nice.
So that's an interesting little tidbit from a couple of the interviews that I've seen them do recently.
Love that.
And then we get into the song, which I didn't realize how much. I think I've only heard like the shortened version of it, where it's literally just the Defying Gravity portion. Not all of it, but like the parts where Oh my gosh, what is the part of it that I'm thinking of?
The part where it's just her singing?
Yeah, so that's the one that I'm used to. I've never heard it with the portion where it's both of them singing. And oh my God, what is the song? Hold on. I have to get, shut up, Sarah.
I'm not even.
Stop talking. Actually don't, because I have to find it. Oh, there it is. I figured out what I wanted. It's the Unlimited. So the parts where they're singing about like them working together and like they say Unlimited. And then she like goes from we can work together and our power can be unlimited to I'm on my own. I can do it myself. and my power can be unlimited. I'm without limits now. Because I'm not worried about wanting to be the wizard, be with the wizard. I still want my friend to be with me, but it's obvious that it's not going to happen. So I'm going to do this on my own with my own power because I have the power now to do what I need to.
Right.
So to me, I love the song and I like it with both of them more than just the version that it's just the one. That it's just Elphaba, because I think it gives like this big, like Glinda's struggling because she wants her to like just conform and be be popular and be like what the wizard wants her to be. But Elphaba understands that that's not good.
Right.
And she can do more good if she's by herself.
Yeah. But also, I feel like I want it to go this way. I don't know if this is how it will go because, again, I've not read any of the books and I have not watched the Broadway play. My hope is that Glinda is helping in the only way that she knows how. Which is to, like you were saying before, how, you know, we get to see these different sides of her where she's clearly supposed to be joining in the reverie of, you know, her friend being dead and her mourning her friend's death. But I think part of it is her feeling like the unfairness of it. That, you know, they don't have any of this context like she does. They don't have this understanding of Elphaba kind of taking on the role of villain, which I think is why she's, you know, tries to reinforce that, you know, she died alone. Like, that's awful. That's terrible. Like, it sucks. That kind of thing. So I feel like Glinda might actually like be helping in the background, you know, as much as she possibly can, without anybody else having any suspicions of it. That is my hope.
Would you like to know my theory?
Yes.
I think, and again, this is not having seen the musical, I think that Glinda is actually helping, and she helps stage Elphaba's death, quote unquote death, and she's not actually dead. She staged her death so that she could get away from and start living her own life out of like this wicked witch persona that people are putting her through. And right. Having the wizard depart was all part of it, so that then Glinda can be the one that kind of helps fix the issues that the wizard created.
Right. I can see that as well. I kind of have this idea that Elphaba is secretly going to take over the, what is the word I'm trying to think of? We'll just take over the wizard's position. Oh my God, Jesus. Because if you remember from the Wizard of Oz, the movie, the Scarecrow is put in the wizard's place because of his new brain. So it would make sense that if Fierro becomes the Scarecrow and the Scarecrow's and Fierro has feelings for Elphaba, which obviously he does, and she obviously has complicated feelings for him as well, you know, that he sneaks her into the Emerald City and she's the actual power behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah. Have you seen, I don't know if it's Robot Chicken or who it is, but they did like a Wizard of Oz parody where somebody, I don't remember if it was Robot Chicken, I think it was, where they have the Dorothy like goes away, she clicks her heels and goes away, and then the wizard comes back and like takes the heart back from the Tin Man, takes the knowledge back from the Scarecrow, and then the lion, he's like, well, you can't take courage away from me, it's courage. And then it cuts to this, he goes, oh really? And then it cuts to a scene where he's sitting in a chair and the lion is just a rug.
Oh no, yes, I have seen that, you're right. Oof. Robot Chicken really just is out here being Robot Chicken. I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't think anything really explains Robot Chicken.
But that's the end of the part one. Part. And then the next one isn't until, it won't come out until Thanksgiving, which I think is criminal. I hate when they do that. But also, this was, how long was it?
It was almost 3 hours. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
2 hours and 2 hours and 40 minutes, yeah.
It was long.
Which is longer than the actual Wicked musical. Both parts.
Which is wild.
The whole musical, I think it said, was 70 minutes.
Dang. Well, I mean, if you think about it, though, they're able to do a lot more in the movie than they are. Yeah.
I also didn't realize how bad of a singer that what's his name was?
Who?
Jeff Goldblum. He's not a very strong singer.
He sounded fine to me.
I don't think he's a very strong singer. And I think it's funny that they chose to put Michelle Wu? No, that's not right.
Michelle Yeoh,
thank you. Michelle Wu is the mayor of mayor of Boston. That's why that's in my head. But anyways, I think it's funny that they chose to put her in, and then put her as Madame Morrible. And there are interviews of her saying, I didn't want to do it because I can't sing. And that is like, there's a singing part and I don't sing.
Did somebody else sing for her?
No, she didn't. Like, that was her singing.
Oh, she did a fine job.
I think she did fine, too. But yeah, it's not a strong voice.
I mean, yeah, but she also doesn't really have to be in for that particular bit. So.
Did you know that it has a 95% on Fandango rating and a 88% on Rotten Tomatoes?
I did not know that. It's pretty cool, though. It's pretty great.
I enjoyed it. I think it was good. And I'm glad I didn't go see it in theaters, because I would have hated to sit through 2 hours and 40 minutes of a movie, even though I sat through Titanic like 6 times.
I was about to say, we have sat through Titanic like I honestly, I can't say that I wouldn't do it, because I've seen Gone with the Wind twice in theaters, and Gone with the Wind is like 5 or 6 hours long.
Titanic is 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah. Let me look. Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind runtime. It's only 4 hours. You know.
3 hours and 58 minutes, yeah.
It's still long, though. still long.
I think I've only ever seen it once. And I don't understand what the whole hubbub is about Scarlet. Or not Scarlet. Yeah, Scarlet. That's her name, right?
Yes. And that's valid. That's valid. Scarlet is a terrible character.
She was very whiny.
And that's part of the reason that I like her so much, to be honest, is because she's very realistic to me. And I also feel like she, like, obviously, Scarlet is a slave owner and a racist, and is obviously, I'm not excusing any of that behavior. However, the other aspects of her behavior that are not related to her being a racist come from a place of being essentially a child when the war started and going through one of the most turbulent times in United States history. You know, as a child, essentially, that's a lot of trauma. And so her desire to never be hungry again, her desire to never be in those situations again, is perfectly acceptable. However, she chooses to do it in unacceptable ways.
Epic Civil War drama focuses on the life of petulant Southern belle Scarlet O'Hara, starting her life, her idyllic life on a spiraling plantation. The film traces her survival through the tragic history of the South during the Civil War and Reconstruction, and her tangled love affairs with Ashley Wilkes and Rhett Butler. It was released on my birthday.
Yes,
obviously, 49 years before my birth.
1939.
This is 1940.
No, it was released in 1939. It was released the same year as The Wizard of Oz, because The Wizard of Oz was released in March of 1939. Anywho. So, it just, obviously, I'm not defending anything about the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, it definitely has some interesting characters and some interesting interactions. And I think it's a good character study of interactions between individuals. I feel like there are aspects of it that could be entirely separated from the time period and done in any time frame. But that's just, you know, my opinion on things. But again, I am anti-racism and all that. However, I do have a soft spot for aspects of Gone with the Wind.
So. Well, would you like to give your overall rating of what you think you would give Wicked the movie, since that's what we were talking about?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes, I think that for me, my overall rating, I would give it an 8.5 out of 10, to be honest.
I think I'm going to give it a solid 7. And that's mainly just because I feel like it was, one, a little bit too long, and two, there were parts of it that could have been cut out. Or shortened, maybe not cut out, but shortened, that didn't need to be as produced and as long as they are, like Fiero's song. It could have been shorter. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Is it going to be one of my favorite all-time movies? No.
Valid.
I think the acting was good. I think the singing was good. I enjoyed the songs, but they also had a really good kind of benchmark to go off of, with, from what I understand, the musical Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not hard to make something that's already supposed to be really good, really good. It takes a lot to screw something up that bad.
Yeah, true. But can we talk about the thing that really was pulling me out of the movie the whole time is the fucking dude who's gonna be the woodsman, Bach.
Oh God, Bach.
Okay, first of all, if you didn't know this, Bach plays SpongeBob on Broadway's SpongeBob SquarePants. Okay. Two, he had an affair with Ariana Grande while he was married to his wife, who had just given birth to their baby. So every time I saw him, I was pulled out of the movie and thrust back into the fact that one, Ariana Grande is not a girl's girl, and two, that's who she chose to be not a girl's girl with. Him. Like this motherfucker who literally plays SpongeBob SquarePants on Broadway? Really?
I don't really care for the character. I don't care about the person. Like, to me, the person's irrelevant. It could be anyone. Yeah. The character, to me, I didn't really care for. And like how much he was, it's like borderline stalkerish the way that he like implants himself in someone's life.
Mm, true.
It's weird.
No, I can agree with that. Definitely agree with that. It just overall, I was just like, wow, okay, all right. This was a choice. This was also a choice made.
I don't know if you noticed this, but I think a lot of people noticed this. The shoes, the silver slippers that, what is her sister's name even?
Nessa
wears to the Oz Bowl. They're on the wrong feet.
Oh, I did not notice that.
They're 100% on the wrong feet.
That's not great.
Also, I don't understand how they're going to do this in the part two, because the person that plays Nessa is in a wheelchair, and the whole thing around the slippers are they get enchanted so that she can walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's going to be able to walk, or they're not going to have her walking in part two.
Right.
So I don't understand how that's going to work.
I don't know either.
But from what I understand, it's like net. So the reason he gets turned into the Tin Man is because Nessa is jealous of him and his, like, they get married and then she can still tell that he's in love with Glinda, and she gets jealous because he's, I can't remember what exactly happened, but then she accidentally enchants him and it like hurts his heart. And Elphaba comes in and turns him into the Tin Man
to save him.
And then they turn it around and say she turned him into the Tin Man because she's evil and she was jealous of their love. The Nessa and Bach's love.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing, I think, with the Scarecrow. She turns Fiero into the Scarecrow to save him. And they make it seem like she did it again because they were jealous. She was jealous of the love between Glinda and Fiero.
Right. Wild.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see what part two is like.
Same. I'm very eager for part two. And I know that the time is going to go ridiculously fast.
Also, I like how people... Oh, there's this trend on Facebook, or not Facebook, on TikTok and like Instagram and whatever, Reels, where people are like, it's now day 295 in January. And I'm like, I feel like January went by really fast.
I also feel like January went by really fast. And you are not the only person to say that to me. Like, a bunch of my coworkers have said the same thing. And I'm just like, man, I feel like it's going too fast. Like, I can't keep up.
like, we're now in February.
Right. It's the 1st of February.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't think January went that fast to me, or January went that slow to me. It went by really fast, but I was also very busy with school and work. And like, I was doing stuff January.
I was also doing stuff in January. Sorry, my thing over here made a weird noise and it scared me.
That's weird.
But anyway, it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's because of everything going on, to be honest.
Yeah. There's a lot of craziness going on, yeah.
It's not good. It's really not good. But you know, we're just out here doing our best.
Well, thank you for asking what I was having for dinner. I appreciate you being so interested in my life that you ask what I made for dinner.
Oh my God.
So I was driving back from getting my haircut and getting lunch and stuff, and I was thinking, what do I want to have for dinner? Because I realized Ryan only bought stuff for like two nights this week. So I was like, what are we going to have for dinner? So I decided we had potatoes, and I shouldn't be thinking this much and like visualizing stuff as I'm driving, but I drive and I think, and when I think, I visualize things. So in my mind, while I'm driving, my brain goes to the apartment, into the kitchen, and I'm like, oh, we have those little red potatoes. I can make those. So what I did is I went to the store and I got some steak. And I cooked some steak, but it was just like some inexpensive steak. It was like $8. Cooked it, and then I put the potatoes in the oven and let them roast. And then once the steak was done and I let the potatoes cook for a while, took the steak, put it with the potatoes, combined it, let them cook for a little bit longer, and then covered it in cheese.
Ooh.
Oh, I forgot my sour cream. Oh.
Oh, sadness.
I was going to put sour cream on it, too. That's okay.
I almost said sour cream's good, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I don't like sour cream. Why was I about to say that?
I love sour cream.
I do not like sour cream. I have never liked it. I don't know why. That's just how I am. I like it if I can't tell that it's there.
You probably like it in like soups.
Yeah. Like I know that I've had it in like, what are those things called? The cheesy gordita crunches have sour cream in them. And I like that. But that's the only time I like it, that yeah. I know that it's there.
Well, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm watching the Bobinski. And then one of my friends is going to be in town tomorrow. They're in town from Chicago, which I'm super excited to see them.
She's coughing a lot. She's coughing.
But other than that, just watching the Bobercino and... Yeah. And then back to work on Monday. What about you?
Hi ho, hi ho. It's back to work we go.
I know. I hate being forced to live in a capitalistic society, but here we are.
Speaking of, I saw something on TikTok earlier that like this person was like complaining about this isn't the one that I'm talking about, but I've seen a couple of videos and I responded and I was like, what is your problem? So the first one, or one of them, was this person was whining because the Amazon delivery driver, was delivering their package, and their son was really excited to receive his package. So he started to open the door and run out to get it. And she was like the delivery driver was like, no. Can you go back inside and close the door? Just go back inside and close the door. And like the person was upset that she like made her son feel bad So I responded and I was like, first of all, that was rude. I totally agree. The person that, like, the delivery driver could have been nicer about it. However, you don't know what kind of day she was having. She could have just had a really terrible incident with another delivery that a kid ran out and, like, almost ran under her car, ran under the delivery car. It's like, you don't know how much, like, what day she's going through. And then I was like, delivery drivers are literally there. Their only job is to drop off your package. They're not there to make your kid have a happier experience receiving it. So I agree. I totally agree that the person could have done that. Could have, the delivery driver could have gone about responding better than she did, but it's not, she's not required to.
Right.
And you don't know what she's going through.
Her job is not customer service.
Yeah. But the other one was this girl talking about, people are like all excited about Ben and Jerry and jumping on how, like, Ben and Jerry is speaking out against the administration, and they're not conforming to, like, the new administration. And she's like, but you forget they're owned by Unilever and all of these other brands that are under Unilever. And I'm like, listen, everyone's owned by something. You can't really get everything you want in a consumerist capitalist economy.
It's true. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism. There's just the least of these kind of situations.
And I'm like, to me, Ben and Jerry is speaking out and they're saying, we don't agree with this. We think that what they're saying is wrong. So to me, I think Ben and Jerry is a good company. Yeah, the owner, their, like, umbrella owner isn't a great company. But really, their umbrella owner isn't as bad as some of the other ones. So to me, it's like, you got to pick and choose your battles. And Ben and Jerry is one of the ones that it's like, they're doing good.
Right. They're doing the best that they can. So.
Well,
you want to call it a podcast?
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment. Don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up on the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something specific you would like us to discuss, you can email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with anything you would like us to discuss. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week. This will be coming out on Monday. Sarah, enjoy your weekend.
You too.
And don't forget, bye, everybody.
Bye.